listening to Tidings, and this is Hazel Kahn. My guest today is Julie Salomon, author of Hospital, Man, Woman, Birth, Death, Infinity, plus Red Tape, Bad Behavior, Money, God, and Diversity, a book about Maimonides Hospital in Borough Park, Brooklyn. Hospital was published in paperback edition in 2009 by Penguin Press. It's also available as an e-book. Julie Salomon was a reporter and the film critic for the Wall Street Journal for many years, and then a culture writer on the staff of the New York Times. Hospital is her seventh book. I asked Julie to describe what the book is about, but I also wanted to know about her writing process itself, how she was able to give us such a detailed picture of not only the hospital, but of the people who work there. I also wanted to know how the book has affected her own life. Julie, you didn't exactly plan to write this book. It seems it came to you through a series of serendipitous events. Tell us about it.
I had written a book called Rambam's Ladder, which looked at modern charity and philanthropy through the eight levels of giving, which were postulated by Maimonides, who was a rabbi, a philosopher, and a physician who lived in the 12th and 13th century, a very important Jewish philosopher and theologian. And after the book came out, I was contacted by a woman, an Italian-American woman, who works at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, in Borough Park, Brooklyn. And she wanted to meet. And she told me about the hospital where she works. Maimonides was started around 100 years ago, named after this same philosopher, physician, theologian. And it was originally started by Jews to take care of the immigrant population of Brooklyn, which at that time was almost entirely Jewish, especially in the Borough Park area. 100 years later, the hospital is still a kosher hospital. It still caters to the very Orthodox Jewish community in Borough Park, but the immigrant population it also serves now speaks 67 languages. So when she told me about it, I thought, this is quite interesting. Many things happened, which I won't go into detail in right now on the program, but about a year later, I met a doctor who was about to leave Manhattan and go to Maimonides, where the hospital was starting a new cancer center. And I was very taken by him. I had been quite fascinated by the hospital, which I had visited, and I decided that it might make a fascinating book. Because one of the things I've always been interested in is sort of how people of different cultures thrown together in unusual circumstances can get along or not get along with one another. And a hospital seemed like a very potent place to watch this mix take place. So that's how I got out there. It turned out that the president of the hospital, Pam Breyer, had read a couple of my books and was intrigued and has a healthy ego and was proud of what she was doing at the hospital and agreed to let me spend a year there, basically to roam free through this hospital and report on what I saw. And that's how the book got started.
Well, reading the book, I have to tell you, I honestly, to confess, I hardly ever read anything except fiction. But this book, I was completely enthralled to Hospital. And I don't know. I just couldn't put it. It wasn't so much that I couldn't put it down, is that I couldn't wait to start reading it again. And I sort of thought about it in between when I'd put, you know, when I stopped reading and when I picked it up again. And then I thought about some of the words that you used or other people in the book used to describe the hospital. And obviously there's something else going on here. You describe it, first of all, as just you've talked about the diversity. You said diversity on steroids. I don't know whether these are always your words or other people that you quote. And then there's somebody else said something like the weird, compelling pull of the place. And then I think you use the word quirky and rambunctious. And you talk about the soul of somebody did. And a history of freewheeling behavior. And those are all sort of odd things to be talking about a hospital. So that I think I resonated to something that is reflected, is contained in those words. So could you talk about what kind of, I mean, it's an organization, and there are lots of organizations. It's nonprofit. There are lots of those. There are lots of hospitals. But somehow, could you talk about what makes it different from other hospitals, as well as, you know, the challenges it faces that maybe all hospitals do?
Well, you've touched on something that really was very compelling to me, because on the one hand, it's a big hospital, 700 beds, hospital that has, you know, it's a community hospital, but on the other hand, it's a big hospital that does all kinds of surgery. They have a big heart surgery. They were building this fancy new cancer center. And yet there was something incredibly primal about it, almost like the Wild West in a way. It's a fascinating place. When you walk into the, somebody once asked me if it was depressing going to a hospital every day, almost every day for a year. And I said, you know, every time I walked in the front door at Maimonides, my adrenaline started pumping. Just walking into the waiting room was like walking into New York City, sort of brewed into this high octane, very distilled version of itself. You know, there was not a day going by where you could not walk into that waiting room and there would be, you know, women dressed in burkas, Hasids dressed in the, like they're still living in 18th century Poland, Chinese, Russians, every language being spoken there, people from the Caribbean, Africa. And so a lot of the issues that I grapple with every day in my own life, globalization, technology versus humanity, it always was just there. And it is a very exciting place because all of this is going on while trying to deal with very serious medical issues.
So when a community hospital means that it's embedded in the community and that it basically services the people in the immediate environment, in the immediate radius, I suppose. Is that what a community hospital is?
Partly that, and partly that's the positive side of community hospital. I think when people at big city teaching hospitals talk about community hospitals, they mean it doesn't have the advanced technology. So you would not go to a community hospital if you were having a transplant or open heart surgery or any of the more highly technological procedures that modern medicine runs on these days. Maimonides is a mix of a hospital very strongly embedded in the community and communities where it's located, but also is striving to become a respected modern hospital. One of the things that I very much wanted to show in the course of following this year at the hospital was to look at this institution not only as a place that provides a very necessary service to people, but it is also a business. It's a not-for-profit business, but in order to keep intact, it has to make enough money or it'll go out of business. And we've seen that here in New York recently with St. Vincent's Hospital, a venerable institution, had bad management and it's gone. And so every single day in the hospital, in addition to all the kinds of anxiety and pressures that one normally associates with hospitals, there's also the pressure of money. And it's really profound.
And so, for instance, the Hasidic community, I mean, I think it's 20% or something of the staff or the patients or...
Sure, about 30% of the patients come from the surrounding Hasidic. I shouldn't say just Hasidic, the Hasidic and otherwise Jewish community. Mm-hmm. That used to be 100%, but now probably 30 to 35%, depending on the day of the week, could be from the Hasidic community. And there's a constant tension in the hospital to want to cater to its best customers, which come from this community, and then also wanting to attract other customers, and I hate to use the term customers, but there is a sense of competition. And you know, you wake up in the morning and turn the radio on. If you listen to the local news, you'll hear a lot of advertisements from hospitals.
This is Tidings from Hazel Kahn. Julie Salomon is talking about her latest book, Hospital, about the Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn.
mean, one of the things that I intended to do in writing the book, and I probably the book this one was most closely modeled on, sort of maybe strangely, was a book I'd done a number of years ago called The Devil's Candy, where I was given open access to a movie that Brian De Palma was making. And in a strange way, there were a lot of similarities, obviously not in the final product. You know, in one case, making a movie is not quite the same as trying to save a life.
Yes, but it's a very dramatic place nonetheless. It's a place of high drama, that hospital.
Yeah, and also in both situations, people are thrown into a very high stress situation where a lot of money and a lot of personalities are kind of put together in a usually in a very high pressure, time pressured situation, and they have to, and success really depends on how well they can cope with one another and work with one another and then disperse and go their separate ways. And so there were actually quite a lot of similarities in sort of the overall structure. And what I wanted to do with hospital was, I think we're all very familiar with the, you know, from House, the doctor that, you know, can seemingly cure every disease. And, you know, sort of the medical side of hospitals has been endlessly told. But what was interesting to me was sort of the institutional part of it. And in a way, this ended up, I feel, being a biography of a place, of an organism.
It's very much so. It's very much a living place. And I was thinking that most of us, when we have any knowledge of a hospital other than, say, advertising or whatever, it's a very small view. It's of ourselves in that place or family member. And you don't really have a very small window, I suppose, peephole into a hospital. But what you've done is shown the whole thing, the whole organism. And one of the thing, and so now I will never think of hospitals in general in the same way. And you don't think of them as being populated by the medical community as much as by the patients, you know, or it's a personal relationship in that sense, a personal perspective. But what you've done is you've made all these players, these sort of larger than life. You've brought them. I don't know if that's quite the way to put it, but it was such an intimate way that you captured so many of these key players at whatever level of the hierarchy they were. Could you talk a little about how you were able to get, I guess it's part of the whole process of how you did this work, but you basically, you uncovered a place. That's how I looked at it. You know, you went to Borough Park and there it was. You almost discovered it and you revealed it. And in the revealing, you pointed out all these people, and you must have spent a lot of time with some of these people. And it's not just sitting around with a drink. You must have been sort of running around after them with your tape recorder and your notes, and there must have been a lot of interruptions. Can you just talk about how you developed the relationship with so many of these people?
It's a great question, and a lot of it, you know, I think my biggest. I mean, this sounds very pedestrian, but I think, you know, if I have one good attribute for doing this kind of work, I have a lot of patience, not the patients that are in the hospital, but patients and I am interested in people's stories, and I'm able, I think, to just wait. I think one impulse that a lot of journalists have is to assert themselves. And if you want to gain trust of people, you have to really be willing to, you know, just take your time and let people feel comfortable with you and just kind of respect their natural reticence in talking to a stranger. One of the things I learned about hospitals was that there are just a tremendous number of meetings. Doctors are meetings, nurses are meetings, people working on a particular floor are meeting. There are meetings with patients and meetings with staff. So what I would do is at the beginning, I would find out, you know, I would always make friends with people who were secretaries, and I would find out where various meetings going on, and I would ask if I could go. And that was a great way for me to learn about the different moving pieces of the hospital. I learned about the hierarchy. I learned the geography of the hospital. Hospitals are hugely confusing just because they're usually built over a long period of time. So just finding your way around takes a certain amount of time. And so at the beginning, I would just, you know, I would go to lectures. This is a big teaching hospital. So I met one of my main characters, this young ER guy, going to a lecture on how to do a rectal exam. I didn't actually do one, but I went to the lecture and how important it was to learn these old-fashioned, low-tech procedures. And so after a while, I sort of started to understand who people were who might be willing to let me follow them around. And I sort of started to identify my characters because to do this kind of book, I had envisioned it as a nonfiction narrative. I'm gratified to hear you say that you usually read novels, because certainly that was that kind of structure and that kind of storytelling was very much what I was hoping to accomplish. And so once I had identified people who I wanted to spend more time with, I would just follow them around. So Dr. Alan Astro had just come to the hospital from St. Vincent's, and it was a big move for him. He was a Yale-educated, both medical school and undergraduate, not from Brooklyn, very gentle guy, very not Wild West kind of person. And he was going to be, but he wanted to be a chief. He had a wonderful medical practice at St. Vincent's. He ran these rounds, these programs on how to deal with the non-medical issues of illness. He's an oncologist, so he dealt with spirituality. He's Jewish, but would have these symposia where he would have Muslims and Catholics and Buddhists come in and talk about different attitudes and different cultures towards healing in all of its different meanings. And he agreed to let me basically follow him around at an unbelievably high tension moment of his career. He was in his 50s. He had two relatively young children, and he had made this big move, leaving a hospital where he had been for most of his professional life and taking the plunge to come to this alien territory because they gave him the opportunity to be the chief of oncology. Mm-hmm. And he just let me be there. And one of the things that happens is that once you're around for a period of time and you're not, you know, and you're kind of inobtrusive and you ask people questions, most people are so thrilled to have people ask them about what they do and what they're interested in and what their work is like, because almost nobody does. And so, and I was genuinely interested. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. You know, it was a steep learning curve. And eventually, at the beginning, everybody was kind of wary of me and didn't want to talk to me. And then by about the third or fourth month, something shifted. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted to talk to me. And at a certain point, I wanted to say to people, stop talking to me so much, because I do have this tape recorder on and this is going into a book. And be careful of how much you decide to say, because people, once they break through the law, you know, the people usually move from not wanting to tell you anything to wanting to tell you more than they probably should.
You know, there's the organism, there's the organization, there's all the operational stuff. And then there's this sort of almost like a canopy over this hospital, which is, I guess you could call it spiritual or philosophical. And that's what I was particularly intrigued about, because we all know about Hippocrates and or the Hippocratic Oath and so on, but this is way beyond anything like that. And I wrote down that Dr. Astro saying, where do we find the strength to enter the patient's room? Why do we care? What is the conception of the human person? And it's really, I found it very, very uplifting to know that these are the preoccupations of at least some medical people. We don't usually think of them thinking about such matters.
And I have to say that under Dr. Astro's leadership, now 5 years down the road, I just actually saw him last week. We were talking about how his growth as a leader and the hospital's growth and the cancer center's success, because when I started writing the book, it wasn't even completed yet, and they had no idea if it would be a viable entity. And one of the programs that they've brought into the cancer center, which was not there when I stopped reporting the book 4 years ago, they've become part of the Schwartz Round, which is a national program that was begun up in Boston, I think at Mass General, which are wonderful rounds where I think once a month, all of the doctors and nurses and social workers, everybody involved with cancer patients within the institution, bring case studies in and then discuss all the different aspects of care of that patient, not from the medical aspect, but from the spiritual, sociological, emotional point of view.
You spent a great deal of time, very intense time, with so many people while you were writing this book. Are you still in contact with any of them?
Yes, I've stayed in contact with a great many people from the hospital.
Is that true in general? Because you obviously get very, very involved in anything. You are a reporter at heart, your profession is to be a reporter. So you do get in at some very, whatever, detail levels with things. But is this unusual for you to have to continue with this kind of relationship long after you finish the book?
A surprising number of very close friends over the years through my work. The number of people that I've stayed in touch with after hospital is unusual. And I think part of that is the nature of the experience. You know, I was with people in a situation that is very high emotion and very, you know, it's one thing to let somebody in to watch a movie being made, which is high drama and very exciting, but to let people into the inner sanctum of a hospital is a whole other level of trust, I think. And, you know, and I think that they appreciated, although some of them were a bit taken aback by the book when it first came out, been an amazing sort of after effect of this book has been, I would say that in the 2 years since it's been published, I've traveled all over the country, invited to speak at hospitals. And it's been a kind of funny experience because, you know, I've been in places like Maine, you know, where people will say, you know, our hospital is nothing like this. We have nothing like this kind of diversity, and we're much smaller, and we're not in New York, and it's a completely different situation, but it's exactly like this. So I think something about the book's view of the hospital captured something about the experience of being part of the hospital community that it's been really gratifying to know that it's almost like you said at the beginning, it's almost like I went on an expedition and discovered this new culture. During the day, I walked around with a very heavy bag that had the book I was reading on the subway. I always carried a notebook and pens and my tape recorder. During the day when I would go to meeting groups or I would be invited to go to patients' rooms with doctors or nurses or social workers, I would just take notes. And then if I was going to have any kind of a lengthy discussion with somebody, I would tape record it. And then not every day, but at least 2 or 3 times a week, I tried to transcribe my notes and transcribe my tapes. I transcribe all my own tapes. I don't trust anybody else because the couple of times I've done it, and then I've listened to the tape and seen what people have written, I always find a lot of mistakes. So I do all my own transcription, which is extremely, extremely tedious work. As tedious it is, if anybody wants to do this kind of work, later when you're writing, it's extremely helpful because it does help embed it into your brain in a way that I think it isn't just the first time you're listening. Because when you're actually in the place listening to the person, there's so much other stimulus that sometimes you don't really hear. That was sort of the my main goal throughout the process, was to keep on top of my notes and tapes. And periodically, like once every 2 or 3 months, I would take several days off from going to the hospital and just do transcriptions, because I knew if I started to get behind, then I would pay a terrible price at the end. And so that was the main, you know, but then as you become friendly with people, I would find out things were happening, and I wanted to be at the hospital at night sometimes, because somebody said, you know, it's a completely different world at night. So I spent a few nights at the hospital just to see what it was like at a different time. And then I went out into the community, because I also wanted to interview people who used the hospital. So there was a tremendous amount of legwork and a tremendous amount of sitting work. So, you know, as I said, patience is an absolute requirement to do this, to be a writer, essentially.
Did you know at the beginning that it would take you a year? Had you already assigned a year's length of time to this?
I decided at the beginning that I would spend a year, because I thought the first year of operation would be a good time frame. It probably in reality was more like 16 months by the time you take the view month. And then, of course, while I was writing the book, I was doing constant reporting, because I'd come to something that didn't make any sense, or I'd have to run back out to the hospital. So even while I was writing, there was a lot of follow-up reporting to do. But, you know, the whole issue of time in any book is a huge, probably the central issue. And, you know, that was in writing the book, probably the hardest part to kind of settle in on was, you know, I only have about 10,000 pages of notes that never made the book.
Julie, on the face of it, all your books seem to be very different from each other. Is there a common thread running through all of them?
I think really in every book, you know, it's sort of maybe the basic essential writer's question, which is, how do we retain our humanity in the face of varying circumstances that make it difficult to do that? If we think our humanity, if thinking about humanity from humanistic good side, not the part of our humanity that kills people. Because I think in really every one of my books, maybe the Hollywood book aside, is the question of how do we make our way through this world in a way that, you know, at the end of the day, you can say, well, that was a good journey and I did the best I could. And I guess that same question runs through The Devil's Candy, which is the Hollywood book, which is about, that book was really about the tension between the creative impulse and the commercial impulse. And so I think that is the common thread.
Been listening to Julie Salomon talking about her latest book, Hospital, Man, Woman, Birth, Death, Infinity, Plus Red Tape, Bad Behavior, Money, God, and Diversity, a book about Maimonides Hospital in Borough Park, Brooklyn. Tidings from Hazel Khan can be heard on the second Wednesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. Tidings is produced by Tony Ernst.